That was my attempt at theme music. It was really lame, but there you go. Hi, everybody. This is Minuet. I sound a little rougher than normal because I've been having some health issues, but hopefully I still sound intelligible. If I do any heavy breathing, don't worry. It's just asthma. Anyway, my mom just got a new microphone. So in playing around with it, I figured I would record the chatty bits of this month's podcast. Sorry if it's unorganized, I figured I'd just wing that mother, so here we go. It is September, and I had to think about that for a minute, because for some reason I still thought it was August. And no, it is September. Labor Day has passed, the kids are back in school. Life is fun again, except for that I'm also back in school, and things kind of got away from me. So I have to go through and get all of the, the nominations. Yes, hi. Maybe I should not have winged it and should have actually gotten a script together, but anyway, you guys will just have to put up with me rambling and know it's the genuine Minuet experience. But yes, Slither Hither was awesome, and she actually sent me a list that she'd compiled, but I have to go through and add the nominations that came in from email. And I don't know if she got the ones off of LiveJournal, but I promise I will get to that as soon as I can, and I do apologize for being so very, very not on top of this. Once I get them all together and posted, there will be a 2-week voting period, and hopefully y'all are taking advantage of the long, long delay and getting to read some of the nominations, which I'm sure all of them are awesome to some degree or another, because, you know, there's a certain basal level of awesome guaranteed just from it being DG, you know, because it's the one true pairing. Okay, so let's see. The first thing is that this is the September podcast, so I should say happy birthday to some of our own. On the 12th, it will be Felicitas, and I'll just say in advance, I don't know if I'm pronouncing everything right, but if I don't, I'll apologize and work to get it right next time. You'll have to give me frenetic pronunciations for some, but perhaps it's Felicitas, perhaps it's Felicitas, it just depends, but her birthday is on the 12th, so happy birthday. On the 14th is Sally Cinnamon, 15th The Lovin' Spoonful, 16th Cinnamon, 20th is Cosmo Jenny and Judy McBry, who I haven't seen for a while, I hope she's okay, and Spider. The 25th, happy birthday to Diana Prallin. The 29th, our own Airmid, who plays Greg Goyle and Blaze Zabini. And, oh crap, I forgot who else. Ah, hopefully she'll forgive me. On Simoav, which I'm pronouncing wrong, but that's okay. I came up with it, and I really, really should have come up with a name that was slightly easier to pronounce for the RPG that I'm in, but anyway. One more birthday on September 30th will be Jaden Malfoy. And for our fictional birthdays, the 19th is Hermione Granger, and the, well, not fictional, but celebrity, on the 22nd is Tom Felton's birthday. Don't molest him, please. Okay. So, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, everybody in September. Happy birthday to you. Yes. I am a goofball, and if y'all hadn't guessed by now, I'm sorry to ruin the mystique. Let me just totally destroy the recording with random loud bursts of tapping the table to think of what to say next. Sorry. I suck. I'm so sorry. Anyway. I mentioned Seamoth. I don't know how much all of you know about that, but basically it's a post-Deathly Hallows RP that takes place on LiveJournal. I play Draco and Snape and Luna and a character called Malcolm Baddock, which the name existed in the books and I made up the rest myself, so I'm pretty happy about that, and I think that Persephone and I do right by our beloved Draco and Ginny. So, if y'all ever feel like checking it out, we'd be happy to have you come on over for a visit. I think, actually, we're going to go ahead and be all narcissistic and read one of our DG scenes from the RP for the podcast. So, y'all have to put up with this advertising. How could we do this to you? Well, I guess mostly because I rule my territory with an iron fist. Be careful or you will become just too hypnotized by my Svengali-like powers over the fandom or something. Basically, this is my hobby and I do whatever I have fun with. And if you don't like it, I'm real sorry. Okay, but anyway, let's advertise other things. The Draco Ginny Fic Exchange is about to kick on again for another fun time of lots of fic, which is basically, you know, hey, guaranteed fun, because there's lots of different people signing up, there's lots of different styles, so everybody can find something that they'll like. It's conducted over on LiveJournal. There will be a link announcing the start of it on the front page of the archive. And, I'm so sorry, I tried to get away from the microphone for that one. Anyway, yes, I will definitely be signing up, and some other really talented authors are going to sign up and write. I know Seagrim and Jandy, J&J Salmon is in charge of it. I call her Jandy, now you know. I don't know who is committed yet, but there are some really awesome writers that do write, and some new awesome writers always get discovered each time around, so maybe this time that will be you. So, come join the Draco Ginny Fic Exchange, and now excuse me a moment while I go catch a breath. Yes, asthma, not fun. Putting off going to the doctor until the very last possible second, totally stupid. Yeah. Don't do that, kiddos. Go to the doctor. It's important. Let's see, what else am I talking about? Another thing that you can talk to Jandy about is there's this 20 random facts, fest. Facts fest. I have trouble with my F's. I have a big old gap between my front teeth, so any sibilant sounds are difficult. Which makes it kind of silly that I'm the one recording this stuff since I don't have a perfect voice, but I am the HBIC, I guess. Y'all just have to put up with my silliness. Very, very sad for all of you. I'm so sorry. You know, I keep apologizing. That's really not good for my role as dictator in charge for life, is it? I guess I'll have to get better at that. I'll be more dictatorial. You must all sign up! Well, at least for the Fic Exchange, I haven't tried the Random Facts Fest, but it looks like it could be fun. I don't know if we can put up links to stuff on the forums in the podcast section. If we can, they'll be there. If not, go talk to Jandy, because she's the one who put it on her journal, and I figured I'd tell y'all about it. I sound like Darth Vader. Fandom, I am your ruler. That was really loud and annoying, but I don't apologize because I already apologized too much. I'm not even going to listen to this before posting it, or at least before sending it to Carrie, Persephone33, sorry. Because if I do, I will delete it and never speak into my microphone ever, ever again in my entire life. So yeah, check out Seamoth, check out the 20 Random Facts thing, check out, the DG Fic Exchange, and, happy birthday to everybody, and I could swear there's something I was supposed to talk about, and I'm totally forgetting. And I should try to maintain an even distance from the microphone so you don't get this, like, weird echo kind of effect. But I guess we'll chalk it up to the Minuet experience again and just leave it at that. Yeah, totally blank. Okay, well, I guess I will call it a day and just say hi, love you all, sorry we are delayed and, you know, all that stuff. Basically, pick something for which I should apologize to you and apply the apology there, okay? Okay. So, we're all good, and I have no ending theme music, so it will just kind of end abruptly any second now. Any second now. And stop.
I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you. There were some days in working for the ministry that were worse than others. On a scale of 1 to 10, the rating of Jenny's particular day fell somewhere around a -3. Jenny shrugged off her ministry robe, glad to be getting out of the office and heading home. A nice soak, a glass of wine, a book. Maybe if she was really lucky, her brother would choose somewhere else to conduct his nightly activities. She took the lift up to the ground floor and walked slowly past the offices housed there. Walking past the Office of Public Affairs, she stopped, having thought she saw a flash of white blonde. Stopping, she turned and stuck her head around the corner and was unsurprised. Malfoy. Not many people have that shade of hair, she thought. She leaned back into the hallway and frowned, wondering just what he was doing. Jenny shrugged. Curiosity was never a bad thing. Well, not always. Hello, Malfoy, Jenny said cautiously. What are you up to tonight? Draco looked up from the parchment he'd been studying, still frowning. Miss Weasley, were you promoted to full-time, Gadfly, or were you just drawn here by my irresistible charm? The charm thing, she said distractedly. I'm unofficial. Gesturing to her lack of outer robe, just nosy. What are you doing? Being charming, apparently. He smirked, shrugging his shoulders back in a way he knew emphasized his physique. I'm also reviewing public records available to any member of the wizarding community of petitions filed within the ministry in the last week. Petitions for what? She asked, peering around to see what he was reading. What? She asked, when he held them so it was difficult for her to see. You just said that anyone could view them. You don't even have to be charming. No, but you do have to fill out a form requesting access, wait for permission, and sign the logbook. Draco did his best to look saintly. I'm afraid it would violate ministry protocol to allow you to see this request for permission to alter Muggle devices. And you would never go against ministry protocol, she stated with a raised eyebrow. Perish the thought. The piousness showed only faint signs of cracking as his lips started to curve upwards. Jenny chuckled. Well, I would. What Muggle devices are you going to alter? Not me. Even if I knew how they worked, Potter would have me in Azkaban in seconds. He wasn't smiling anymore, but he'd also abandoned his posturing. If you swear not to arrest me for it, here. Yeah, I'm going to arrest the man whose elf supports my pastry habit. She took the proffered parchment and glanced at it. She said with a frown. Muggle stuff. Mad. She looked at him over the edge of the document. Who's going to mess with this stuff, then, if it's not going to be you? He pointed at the line on the parchment that held the requester's name. I think he was only the strange Ravenclaw, which, I realize, is a redundant phrase. But this one was second only to Luna. He'd read Muggle books with titles like Air Dynamics and Repulsion in Single-Egging Crafts. Jenny squinted at him, his statement about the Muggle books going right over her head. Luna? She asked suspiciously, repeating what he said. Something about her friend's name rolling off Malfoy's tongue so easily rankled her. Luna Lovegood? Yes, Lovegood. Rolling right through in hope she'd ignore the slip, Draco continued. This Entwistle's proposal is visionary. I'm hoping he'll allow me to invest in him, although he might still hold it against me that I stole his book. Honestly, if I could go back in time and talk to my younger self, he'd get a thick ear and a lecture on how being a little shit burns bridges. Jenny laughed. Would he now? she asked, studying him. Something was amiss, and she couldn't put her finger on quite what it was. I remember Kevin Entwistle. I was best friends with Luna Lovegood. Still am, she offered, crossing her arms over her chest. How about you tell me about what you and Kevin are up to first, and then you can tell me why Luna doesn't merit getting called by her surname.
I assure you I'm not up to anything with Entwistle, and it's shameful you haven't progressed beyond using sexuality as an insult, he said loftily. I'm interested in Entwistle's mind because he's doing research that's years ahead of anything my other clients are working on, and it could be a great benefit to all wizards if he had enough money available to concentrate exclusively on his work. And of course it would make obscene amounts of money for me.
Ginny's mouth fell open. I do not think that you and Kevin... I mean, anyone that's seen you with one of your... That is to say, it would be a pity if...
She stopped and took a deep breath.
You're trying to distract me. You're not nearly as sneaky as you think you are. I invented sneaky, she informed him with a knowing look, hopping up to sit on the table that held the documents. Now then, Kevin's going to make you obscene amounts of money, which of course you need. And that's fascinating to be sure, but the real mystery lies in why Draco Malfoy would call Luna Lovegood by her real name. She smiled at him. Come on, I'm trustworthy. You can tell me. I'm a perfectly upstanding citizen except for the sneakiness and the disregarding of ministry protocol, she said, lifting the edge of a piece of parchment.
Did I call you a gadfly? I'm not sure that fully conveys your relentless nature. His lips twisted slightly. Are you sure I can't interest you in a potentially world-changing revolution?
Not interested.
Though, if I'm nothing but an annoying bother, I suppose I should be on my way, Ginny said apologetically, although she didn't budge from the table. Laughing, Draco rolled up the parchment and knocked it gently against her nose. There's no way to answer that without getting into trouble, and you know it. I'd say it's very Slytherin, but I think it's more a woman thing.
Am I a woman? She asked absently. I hadn't noticed. She cocked her head to the side and looked at him. You're not going to tell me, are you? Sighing with a grin creeping over her face, she conceded. That's fine. You've only got to see me every other week for the rest of your life. I'll wear you down eventually.
Draco sighed. Aren't you her best friend? Don't you know what she did right after the war?
No, Ginny said uncertainly.
When Luna didn't want to talk about something, she had an uncanny knack for distracting a person.
No, I don't know what she did after the war. I know that she likes the outdoors and that she's got a fear of enclosed spaces and that she won't go within a meter of black licorice, Ginny supplied, shrugging.
She frowned. This whole topic of conversation had gone from making her insatiably curious to rather cross. Draco wished he hadn't felt comfortable enough to slip. At least it was only about Luna and not about something that would let her bring the full force of the ministry down on his family. However much he enjoyed their badinage, Ginny Weasley was not his friend. She was his warden. It's Lovegood's story to tell. You'd think I was lying.
Ginny eased off the table she'd been sitting on. I suppose, she said thoughtfully, and I love how you continually think the worst of me, Malfoy. She shook her head. I've given you the benefit of the doubt time and time again, and yet you still jump to the conclusion that I'd think you were lying. I'm not my job, you know.
He touched her face with the parchment again. If you do something wrong, the absolute worst I could do is embarrass you. You, with your delicate little freckled fingers, could destroy my life. Worse, you could destroy my parents. We've got entirely different levels of risk, sweetheart.
Ginny watched him slip out the door without another word, and she felt oddly upset. She didn't care what Draco Malfoy thought of her. She knew that he, and his mother and father, for that matter, had been above reproach during the war. since the war, anyway. She thought that she and Malfoy had come to a sort of understanding, but evidently she'd been wrong. "The difference between you and I, Malfoy," she said to the empty doorway, "is that I wouldn't do either one."